This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For the full show and archives, visit jodcast.net.
Bashwati Bhattacharya is our Marie Curie International incoming fellow to the University of Manchester, to the School of Physics and Astronomy. Welcome, Bashwati Bhattacharya, to the interview.
Thank you.
You are working on an exciting project known as Clocks and Bursts. Can you tell us what this project is about?
This project is named Searching for Nature-Based Clocks and Transient Millisecond Bursts with Arrays of Telescopes.
So you are searching for some kind of stars?
Yes, these are pulsars.
How do you search for them and what are the parameters that you look for when you do this search?
Pulsars are extremely precise clocks. That's why I said the name of the project is Searching for Nature-Based Clock. So the stability with which the pulsars emit pulses is around 10 to the power minus 19 second per second. So like a trillion billion second per second. So it is so precise that it can beat any very good atomic clock which is available here in Earth. So pulsars are basically rapidly rotating and the rotation is so rapid that it can beat even the Gitchen blender's typical speed. And they are very highly magnetized. If you compare with Earth's magnetic field, then it is maybe 100 billion times the Earth magnetic field is the magnetic field of pulsars. So they are basically nothing but a compact star called neutron star. And the neutron stars are remnant of the very massive stars after they die. The size is around 15 kilometer, and in that 15 kilometer radius or size, they have the mass similar to or maybe more than Sun's mass. So you can think of how dense it will be. So you may imagine that it is like a mass of Mount Everest in a teaspoon. Oh. So such massive stars are pulsars. So now when this massive star rotates, the observer and the beams from the pulsars cuts the observer line of sight, you will see one pulse from it. So depending on how rapidly the pulsar is rotating around its axis, you will see the pulse's period will change. That means there will be some on and off period when you are constantly looking at the object. So study of such exotic object is very, very interesting, as you can see, and you will get a very compact, dense matter in a such high magnetic field and very exotic temperature and pressure. So this will provide you a laboratory to study extreme matters in space. And wow, this kind of condition you will not be able to create in your Earth. So having such exotic conditions, it is possible to study extreme matter physics.
Wonderful. Yeah. It's like you have your laboratory in the space and you do an extreme physics experiments. Wonderful. What kind of instrument that you have to still depend on for looking at these extreme objects?
So these extreme objects are, right now we have around 2300 pulsars. And one variety of pulsars, they are very fast rotating and we have about 300 of this flavor of pulsar. But the thing is, some of these objects are very faint, so you will need very powerful radio telescopes to detect them and search for them. And having more and more of these objects will provide you naturally extreme laboratories to study them.
You mean discovering more of these will provide very good...
Yes, discovering more of these objects is very important in the sense of studying individual extreme objects, and also as a combination, they can tell you a great deal of information about how the gravitational wave is affecting their signals, and that way there is a way to detect gravitational wave signals by studying pulsars.
So, does it mean you also encountered any major discoveries on your work so far?
Yes, generally the search of pulsars can be divided in different classes. One class that we are doing is blind searches, where what you do is you search in different portion of sky where you do not know whether there is pulsar or not. So you are searching blindly. So for that, your telescope's field of view matter. You should have quite large field of view and you are searching for pulsars. In that kind of search, what I am carrying out right now, and in this part of the search is done with the team of scientists in the Jodrell Bank Center for Radio Astrophysics, And there we are doing very high resolution search, that is a very fine time and frequency resolution search. And also there can be kind of search which are targeted search, where you are targeting the specific region where you have prior information from some other wavelength or maybe some supernova or something has happened, and you are targeting that part of the sky for detecting pulsars. So that is called targeted searches. Both these kind of searches I am involved in, and there have been 6 discoveries from the blind searches and 7 discoveries from the targeted searches.
Wonderful, wonderful. So would you tell about what importance that carry to the science, these discoveries?
These discoveries are, I would say, very important because individual interesting objects, and also because these discoveries are increasing the populations of pulsars in the known regime. As I can say, that is predicted that there will be 30,000 pulsars in the sky, and as of now around 2,000 is known. So we are yet to discover many, many such faint objects, and for that the instrument with which we are discovering matters. So right now what we are doing is we are doing this search with GMRT, which is a telescope in India. It has 30 telescopes, and each with 45 meter diameter, spread in area of 25 kilometer. And these telescopes collect signals, and they can be added, and it can act like a very big single dish. Because pulsars are so faint object, the regime with which you can search with individual single dish is probably getting exhausted. And having big arrays of telescopes, smaller telescopes, which combined can give you a very high collecting area, is the future for pulsar search. That is, the square kilometer array is getting built. It is a big array of telescope, which is the future for pulsar search. And we think that with the GMRT, what we are doing, which is also an array of telescope, will be kind of a test bed for some techniques, which will be in future applied to SCA.
Wow, that's really wonderful. So you mentioned that you have made discoveries of new pulsars. Having discovered them, how you felt having seen these pulsars for the first time?
This is really a unique feeling because you spend lots of effort in discovering. So you gather lot of data and then look at the individual pulses and then look at the candidates. And then maybe when you are very fortunate and everything is well, you get one pulsar. And this is very interesting, and this is even more interesting when you continue your study with that pulsar and see that this object is really unique. And I will say each and every pulsar have something to tell us. So something unique is there. So deeper study of the object that I have discovered is giving us useful scientific information with which we are probing more and more towards the unknown is a very good feeling. That's what I can say.
Have you encountered any major hurdles in this work, or what's the complexity of the effort involved?
In the sense of hurdle, in the current data rate is one of the things that we need to keep up with, because we generate data very fast. It is like 100 GB per hour, and we observe for hours and hours, days and days. So we have lots of data. And we need to manage those data. We need to back up the observations in the observing tapes. We need to put those back in the high-end computing facility. So another thing is computing facility. Because we are in the pulsar search, we need to search for the time for between the two consecutive pulses which we receive, which is generally termed as pulsar period. So this is one dimension of the search. There is another dimension which is determined by where the pulsar is in the sky. That is, between you and the pulsar, there is this interstellar medium. And depending on what is the proper direction where the pulsar is, the signal from the pulsar arrives to you at different time, at for different frequency. That is, lower frequency signals get bit delayed. So this property is called the dispersion delay. And that can be characterized by having a quantity which is called dispersion measure, which is nothing but the integrated electron density between you, that is the observer, and the pulsar. So generally when you are searching for pulsar, you are searching in two dimensions, in period and in dispersion measure. But one additional dimension comes, which is the way in which this period change. I have said the period is very precise, about 10 to the minus 19 second per second. But there may be some variations which is coined by sometimes the pulsars are in binaries, that it is having some kind of companion with it and it is rotating with the companion. Because of its rotation around the companion, its period gets modified. And by studying that modification of the period, you can determine the orbit in which it is rotating around the companion. So, the third parameter comes, which is determined by the derivative of the period. So, this three-dimensional pulsar search is very, very computationally intensive. And that's why you need high-performance computing systems to search pulsars. Like we use the Hydra supercomputing system here in Jodrell Bank, and also we use one supercomputing system which is there in India. And with this, I can say 15 minutes of data, pulsar data, to analyze this in supercomputing systems, it takes about 5 hours. Now, if you consider, if you are doing this analysis in your high-end desktop, very high-end desktop, it will take at least 5 days. And so, you can consider that how computationally extensive it is.
When you said there are many dimensions in which you have to search for pulsar, you did mention the term dispersion measure. So, is that something that you can tell us about what it is?
Yes. So, dispersion measure is determined by the medium that is there between pulsar and yourself. So, this is the interstellar medium. And the pulsar signal is coming through the interstellar medium to the observer. And in the process, the low frequency signal that is coming from the pulsar gets delayed in respect to the high frequency signal. So, this delay needs to be corrected. So, for that, we need to have the information how the medium is, and that is characterized by the dispersion measure, which is nothing but the integrated electron density between yourself, that is the observer, and the pulsar.
Wow, this is like you correct for the signal transmission path complexities that signal is encountering, you're correcting for it while you're searching for them.
Yes, we need to correct for them to increase your detection significance.
So, is there also any other noise that you have to worry about while you are processing for these signals?
Yes, when you talk about hurdles, that is one of the biggest hurdles, because you get man-made interference from the mobile and from various other sources. So, majority of effort in searching for pulsar goes in removing all these interference and keeping the signal which is only due to pulsar. That's how we can find out the signal for pulsars, otherwise it will get buried under the interference which are not from any object in the sky but made in Earth.
So do you search for them in a manual way, or is there any automated way you can search for them?
Yeah, there is. All the major telescopes are right now searching for pulsars, and from ages there are techniques that have been developed for searching for pulsars, and those techniques are getting propagated, and we are all using the techniques which our senior researchers have been using, and they are modifying these techniques constantly. And what is happening is a big collaborative effort is going on in search of pulsars.
Wow. Do you foresee any unexpected results from this, some kind of a serendipitous results which may make the work usable across the spectrum of science or other fields?
Yeah, one thing is what I have said, that in extreme condition, how the matter will behave, that we could be predicting by study of pulsars. And other branches of astronomy also, the study of pulsars will provide input, because as I have already told, an array of pulsars can be used to detect the gravitational wave.
Wow.
So these kind of things can be like interdisciplinary inputs to other astronomy branches can be useful.
So, Bashwati Bhattacharya, being awarded a Marie Curie Fellowship is a prestigious achievement. It is an international recognition of a fellow's work and potential for contributing to new scientific development. Receiving a fellowship can have a profound effect on a career development of a fellow, giving them a chance to experience new ideas, work experiences and approaches, and working with researchers. Can you tell us something more about this fellowship?
Thank you first for recognizing this, my getting this fellowship. This fellowship is a fellowship by European Union, and this is a very, I would say, good opportunity to extend one's research expertise, because first of all, it supports research in another country, and it also has scopes if one wants to in between go to one's own country and have some intermediate phase and come back to another country. And also, this fellowship, you have a research grant with which you can buy equipment, which I will be spending on having high computing facilities here in Jodrell Bank. And as well as it gives you travel grant. So this is very good and it has helped me a lot. This fellowship has another advantage that it can be taken anytime after PhD, because some of the fellowship have the constraint that you have to take after few years of the PhD. So it can even be taken when you are experienced researcher.
Wonderful. Do you have something to say to the young aspirants who may be working on in the similar field, how they may get into such a research experience?
I would encourage continuing research with patience and persistence, and time management, everybody knows, is one of the key thing. And also looking for opportunity where there is opportunity to take that, and not constrain yourself only in one thing. Explore different things.
Thank you, Bashwadi. And finally, I would like to know, why do you do what you do?
Because I like to do, I love to do. Yeah. And as of pulsars, these are very exotic objects and they have tremendous untapped potential to study. So I like this field very much.
Thank you, Bashwadi Bhattacharya, for being with us today. We wish you the very best for your career.
Thank you.